I want to read from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is Craig's prayer. And it's a prayer that King David originally sang to the Lord, but the Holy Spirit wrote the prayer and put it upon David's heart. So we believe that these words which come out of the Old Testament are still alive to this day, and they aren't completed until they're completed. So our brother has finished his race. He has finished his walk, and even though we wanted him to stay, even though we can't believe he's gone, yet God knows His beloved. And He knew exactly why. He knew things we didn't know. And He knew that this was the time, this was the hour. And so we would keep him. But God wants him to His side. So we give praise and glory, and now we pray for the family, that God might show mercy and favor to Maria and to her boys. And I'm glad also to see you, Mr. Hollis. God is so good to us. I'm going to have the boys share later, especially Jim, because I believe that we should honor those that have passed before us and let people know that a life isn't just lived, but it's meant to make an impact, a change in this world. And without question, Craig is with the Lord. He's always been with the Lord, but now he's actually in his everlasting arms. And therefore, he is not dead, though he's dead to us. He's actually asleep. He's actually waiting. And when he wakes up, he'll wake up in the presence of the Lord. And so he's at rest right now, no longer in any pain, sorrow, sadness. But I'm sure he's sad about leaving his family behind, so we're going to pray for your family right now. Lord Jesus, I just pray and thank you that there isn't any comfort in someone going away, but there is comfort in your promises. I thank you for the certainty of this word that never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, forever, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for this immutable word which you have sworn with an oath that it will not cease until it accomplishes everything you intended. And for our brother, we thank you that he is now perfected. As he wasn't perfected on this earth, he was still had a perfect heart, but he was seeing, watching his soul be perfected and his life heading toward perfection. Now he has that perfection. So we give you praise, Lord God, that when all things are ready, we'll all be together and none will come into your presence or into your kindness and goodness and gentleness except we all come together as one. And so we give you praise for the sleep, sweet sleep, where there's no more pain or sorrow, and every tear will be wiped away from every eye. In Jesus' name. Reading out of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God is on our side, there's no one that can take away our joy. No one can snatch him, take him out of God's hand. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So, Craig lacks nothing right now. We lack him, but it's all right. We'll be restored to him. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can bring anything, any accusation against one who belongs to God? It is God that justifies. Who is then that could condemn? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even now at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are even accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul writes, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that are to come, not even height nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Book of Romans 8, verse 31. And finally, I want to read from John, the Gospel of John. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. That's where Craig is. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will certainly come again. And I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. John 14. The beautiful thing about Craig, and there are lots of things, but the thing that comes to me the most, and I think everyone will agree, he was quiet, gentle, and always happy. He was always wanting to serve others, always caring about other people, and particularly, of course, Maria and the two boys. And I thank God for that, because he was never looking for some kind of praise from men. In fact, many of the things that happened in this church and in other people's lives, he did so quietly you didn't know he did them. He didn't want anyone to give him thanks or praise for that. He was humble. And today, as we're looking at the Palm Sunday traditional in the churches to celebrate the week before Passover, Pesach, and looking at that, we see how Jesus entered this world humble. And when he came to his city, they hailed him as a king, but he was mounted on a donkey, as kings often did. But he wasn't mounted on a white horse and looking like a king with a crown on his head. Instead, that week he received a different kind of crown, because often love is not appreciated. Often people that love us, we don't even know all the things they've done. Craig was like that. And he didn't want people to know all the things that he just kept going. And because he was an engineer, he often knew how to do technical things that other people might not. Practical things. No, nothing that would help somebody, he would leave alone. He would try to find a way to help people, no matter where he was. He didn't have to be in the best place. He could be any place. And he would reach out to people and do things often that they weren't aware of. And that's the way he was in his family. And I know the day before he left, first day of spring, on the 20th of March, he was outside working, spreading things across the lawn and working with Jim and so on. That was great. Just a wonderful day. Nobody ever thought that he would be gone the next day. So that was the last day, the day of spring, which is the first day of hope, of faith, of love, of things new, fresh. And on that day, he was definitely alive. And no one had a clue. I know none of the family had any idea that that would be the last time that they would see him alive. But God knew, and I believe it's fitting that on the very day that spring began, that that was his last day. And he had hope, he had life, he had joy, he had peace, he had those fruits of the Spirit, and he was completely full of joy, completely happy to be alive and to work with his family and to show up for work every day and so on. But the thing about Craig that you might not know is how strong his faith was. Jim and I had a talk about that, about how strong his inside of himself, just between him and the Lord. That was where he totally, I know he not only listened to the word that was preached, but he kept all the tapes so he knew everything that we've ever taught and preached. But he would then give them out to other people. And he would give them out so they'd say, you know, you listen to this and you'll be blessed. So he was sharing his faith and he was an evangelist through the very thing that he was doing. And so it's powerful that he had this quiet, servant-like attitude that the Lord showed us. In fact, in the scripture we're going to read today out of Matthew 21, about his coming into Jerusalem to be received as a king. And in a few days they would crucify him instead. But nevertheless, as he came into town, he knew exactly what the script was, and he knew that he would be destroyed, he would be rejected. Love often is rejected. It's not understood. It's not something we can comprehend. Is why would someone love someone who had done wrong? Why would God love a sinner? Why would God care for somebody who wasn't perfect? Because he's perfect. And this was the message that men not understanding it would kill. They would destroy that. But because love is stronger than hatred, because light can always overcome darkness, because truth is greater than lies, Jesus told the truth, knowing that he would be killed for it, knowing that he would pay the price, he would sacrifice his life. This, to me, is a picture of Craig as well. He had this faith in his heart that no one could shake. And it came from listening objectively, just outwardly, to this word, in which there is this promise, this certainty, that it isn't those that are good that are accepted by God, but those that believe that God is good. It isn't us behaving. It isn't that we're perfect, that we do everything God wants, or that we try our best to do everything God wants. That's not what brings us into relationship with God. And this was Craig's faith. He wasn't trying to be perfect or holy. He just was doing his everyday life and trying to be faithful as he could. But his confidence, his certainty was in the Word of God, that God made a promise that he couldn't lie. He made a promise to Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then to Yaakov, Jacob. And that promise to Israel has never quit, and it never will quit. And that's why Jesus is called HaMashiach. And when he came into town, the Jewish people, but particularly the children, they began to sing Hosanna to the Son of David, and then they said, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In other words, Jesus did not come in his own name, did not come in his Son of God power. He came humble. He came in the name of a Son of Man so that he could die for the sins of the world, so that he could do good for others, so that he wouldn't say his own words, do his own deeds, will his own will, but he would do whatever was needed, whatever was necessary to show love, faith, hope. But the greatest of these is love. Love is not human kind of love, which is conditional. I love you if you're perfect. God loves us when we're not perfect. God loves us when we've actually rebelled against him at times. We've actually done wrong for God. It isn't what you've done, right or wrong. It's whether you believe and trust in him that he can't do right or wrong. He can only do that which is right and true and good and perfect and loving. So that was Craig's faith, and that's my faith. That's our faith, is that the reason we can come here today and believe that God can't lie, that once he says, I love you, he can't change his mind. Once he said to you, Maria, almost 23 years ago, once he said to you, I love you, it never changed. It did not change when boys were brought into the world. Once he loved, he never changed. He stayed. He was steadfast. And he didn't care that other people knew about it. He knew. He knew. He loved you just the way you were. Didn't want you to fix up. He wasn't mad if you didn't fix up. He liked you just the way you were. That's powerful. That's exactly like God. That's exactly like God. So when Jesus came in to the city, everybody hailed him. How many know that people are fickle? They can change. And so by Thursday, they said, crucify him. On Sunday, they said, you know, he's our king. And on Thursday, they killed him. That's because man has certain expectations. They thought maybe Jesus would be a king who would set up a kingdom, overthrow the Romans, and set the Jewish people free. But God doesn't force his love. He doesn't force people to believe in him. He doesn't force people to hope. God is instead gentle, lowly, humble. And I believe that Craig totally exampled this in his own life. And you can look at his outward life and say, well, he had this and that and so on. But he wasn't looking at his life. He was looking at God's life. He wasn't looking at what he did or didn't do. He was looking at what God said and whether God would lie or tell the truth. And he believed that Jesus, as we just read, I am the way and the truth and the life, because Jesus never spoke his own words. And that's why Craig also, for us, was a great example. That's why we miss him, because he really lived what he believed. He wasn't faking it. He wasn't, you know, putting on a show or act. He totally, totally loved us, totally loved his children, totally loved God. And I thank God for that. How many works did he do? Well, we don't even know them all. He did works, but we don't know all of them. We don't need to, because it wasn't his works that brought him into relationship with God. It was God's works. God's act of love to us, showing mercy. That is the only thing that mattered for God and for Craig. And I don't know how many years that he served us here, but you didn't even see him, though he's tall. You couldn't even see him just going and putting tapes on the back. As soon as the sermon would be done, they'd be ready. And he'd have them all stacked up. So people were served that way. But he didn't want any credit. He didn't want anyone to see him. He just went back then again. I think sometimes you guys were back there with him. It was powerful. And so he was a servant that wasn't looking for a reward, wasn't looking for thanks, wasn't looking for anything. He only believed that God told him to do what he did, and he did it. And whatever he did it with excellence. He did it with all that he had. And I think the truck that he drove was kind of like the donkey that Jesus rode on. It was an embarrassment. And you couldn't scratch it because it was already scratched. But because he didn't care about that, his thing was, you know, I just want to serve people and help people out. And it doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m, he would be there. He never thought of himself. He wasn't worried about himself. He was taking care of others, cared about others. And I thank God for this whole family. I thank God because your family is a testimony to God's faithfulness and to Craig's certainty in God's promise that, you know what? I know God loves me. I know I don't care what anyone doesn't do or does do. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm never going to be angry. I'm never going to be unforgiving. I will forgive anything. That's the way he was. Now, he had, I don't know a lot about the family background, but I believe he had a few bumps. And then after he found you, Maria, things were for the better. It was a blessing. And that's where you two boys are the fruit of that. I didn't think he wants that legacy to die. That give me whatever is, it doesn't have to be perfect, just whatever it is, and I will find a way. And this word is what helped him to do that. So I'm not just saying these things to give high praise to him. I'm saying this to give praise to God that Craig was exactly what we want to have in this church, and we have many rather like that. They're quiet. They don't necessarily make a noise or want anyone to know what they did. They didn't want to have their name put up somewhere. But we are going to miss Craig. I can't imagine anyone carrying on the things that he did. It was with precision. It was so perfect. It was done just right. And we never knew if anything went wrong because he'd take care of it. We weren't even aware. I believe, Maria, you're like that also. And you have raised two fine boys who will carry on Craig's legacy. And so we give you praise for all that you have said, Lord God, in this promise here that we rely upon. Now, I want to read to you from the 21st chapter, and I will continue to refer to Craig's life as I read this because I think there's a lot of parallels. And they drew near, chapter 21, Matthew, to Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. And they were come to Bethphage, Beit, that means house of figs. So the house of figs, there were a lot of fig trees in that area. So this was a little town that had a lot of figs. There was another town next to it, Bethany. And that is Beit, the house of dates. And so all of these words mean something. They aren't just historically true. They're actually spiritually, they have meaning to them. Often Israel is likened to a fig tree, for example. And so the Lord has given hope to Israel. By the way, Israel isn't finished yet. No matter what is happening in the world, Israel will remain. She may go through more difficulties, troubles, and problems because he's told us that. Nevertheless, she will come out pure. She will come out pure. And so these are things that are in our heart, that God loves all mankind. But he picked Israel for his nation. And they didn't do everything he wanted, but he didn't change. God doesn't change. Once God calls you, he can't change his mind. Just because you misbehave, that doesn't mean he's now going to cut you off. He always keeps his promise. And when he spoke to Abraham, he gave 7 promises. He said, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this. So God made 7 covenantal promises. And Abraham heard those promises. Nothing was expected of Abraham except to believe. That was the certainty that the one who promised would not lie, could not lie, and he could rely upon it. That's Craig. That is exactly what Craig also did. Once he heard the truth, he said, I'm standing on that truth. I'm not moving. I will rely upon God to love me. I don't know how good I'll do loving God, but I know how much he will do because he is love and he cannot change his mind. That gave Craig faith. Then when we went through troubles, hope. And then through his love, we had a picture of what happens when someone has faith and then hope, no matter what happens, that it'll come out right. So I believe his death is not hopeless, but is actually a seed that's going into the ground. James, Ricky, Maria. I believe that what he started in his faith, you will continue that legacy because you are his fruit, and we are his fruit. And therefore, we need to be like he was, full of faith in God's promises, full of hope when we go through difficult times, and full of love, even when people don't always deserve our love. Give it to them anyway. Don't give it to them because they deserve it. Give it to them when they don't deserve it. That is the lesson that Jesus taught. That is the lesson that Craig lived. When they drew near to Jerusalem, they were come to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the city over against you." In other words, just opposite to you. "And straightway," immediately, "you will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them," set them free. It's a big picture here. "And bring them to me." Set them free and bring them to me. And so, "If any man says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need.'" The Lord has need of them, and straightway he'll send them. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled what was written in the Old Testament prophets, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek." In other words, humble. In other words, not doing his own thing, not taking care of himself, only doing what the Father told him to do. Bless this earth. Bring peace on earth, goodwill to men. Don't just bless the Jewish people. Don't just bless this small group. Everybody. You die for the sins of the whole world. That's why he came that way. He wasn't just setting up an Israeli kingdom. He was setting up a kingdom of love, a kingdom of spiritual truths, a kingdom where we would love people that weren't lovable, a kingdom where we would love people that hated us, a kingdom where we would forgive our enemies, a kingdom where we would praise God no matter what, a kingdom where we would suffer many times, but we would not lose hope, a kingdom where we had faith that what God began, he would surely complete. That's Craig. That's us. This is a great example for us to follow. "Behold," say this, this is what the prophet said, "say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek, sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass." So this humble king. "And the disciples went and they did as Jesus commanded them." They did exactly what he said. They brought the ass and the colt, put on them their clothing, their garments, and they set him on top of it. So this picture of Jesus riding not a white horse, not glorious, not with a crown on his head, coming humbly as though he were not exactly what he said he was. And no one believed him because he was humble. Because we're humble, often people ignore us. They don't see the glory inside, that a humble person is actually exactly what Jesus wants. He had said to him, you know, this is in the last chapter before this, you know that the kings of this earth, they lord it over the people. In other words, they're not servants of the people. They call themselves servants. They call themselves benefactors. But in fact, they are not. They're out for themselves. They're out for their own advantage, their own profit. "But it shall not be so among you, my followers, but you shall be humble." This is a beautiful picture. This is one that I saw in Craig. And I believe after you got married, soon afterward, Peggy and I invited you to our house. I believe you were maybe one of the first. Do you remember that? Yeah, it was a blessing. And, you know, at once we were together. We were one. Because there was no pretending to be something we're not, or just being ourselves. Exactly. It's one thing I love about Maria. It's exactly herself. But it's a true self. I'll stick to what I believe without variation. That's powerful. Not everybody likes that. Not everybody likes that. I'm sure the boys didn't always like that. But you're the perfect. I don't have any problem. I mean, think Mr. Hollis agreed. This is a perfect person to have with you, because she never turned to the side. She just goes straight. Never off to the left, off to the right. She just stays straight. And this is what I think Craig also liked. The boys don't like so much, but you'll learn later. He's a good mom. He's a good dad. Perfect. They were a perfect match. I would call one the law. That's Maria. I'd call the other the gospel. That was Craig. That's not a good thing to say, but it actually made a very good marriage. Because God has a law and he has a gospel. In fact, when you fail the law, you get the gospel. When you don't do what the law says, you get Jesus forgiving. You get the Father forgiving. So that is what our church is built upon, is that, yes, God has a law, but if you don't keep it, and nobody does, if you're not perfect, and nobody is, still, you have the certainty of this promise that God will not leave us or forsake us. That is powerful. That is powerful. So I pray now, Maria, that you don't have Greg to fix up when you're too harsh and too strong. I pray now you will become soft, maybe once a week. Because your strength is in being true, but your weakness is that you need Craig there, sleeping beside you, being beside you. Why? Because he had this softness to him that no matter what happens, no matter what happens, I will trust in God. No matter what happens, I will give the glory to God. No matter what happens, I will bless others. This is the beauty of this family. This is the legacy that Greg has left. So Jesus came in humble. They brought the ass. They put their clothes on it. They set him thereon. And a very great multitude. This doesn't mean 100,000 people. This means millions of people were in that city that day. They were there for the big festival. This is the spring festival, the first set of festivals. And that was unleavened bread. That was also then the Passover lamb being killed on Thursday. And that was also then the first fruits would come after that. Then you would have the next four later, one in the late spring, early summer. That would be then it would be followed in the fall by three other festivals, trumpets and atonement, and then booths or tabernacles. Now, I believe that's yet to come, but I believe already these festivals have meant a lot to us, that God would come to us meek and mild, that he would send his son meek and mild, so that we could believe that God is not only good, but he's great and he's powerful. But he doesn't use his power to destroy us. He uses his power to love us and to destroy those who would destroy us. That's why Israel is safe today. That's why when I go to Jerusalem, when I go to Israel, I'm never afraid. I went in the worst time when the bombs were flying and so on. And we were the only group in all of America that went that time, because no one else came. And they, even the culture, Ministry of Culture came out and gave us, I think we had 25, 30 people. They gave us certificates, thank you for coming when it wasn't easy to come. But I tell you, it was wonderful to come because there were no lines. And everything was, you know, open to us. It was great. But because we came not as tourists, but as lovers to Israel, then those who had been through the concentration camps would invite us into their booths. Say, I want you to come. Because we Jews believe that we should be joined. We believe that it's good to come together with others in humanity. And that was God's original purpose, was to have all mankind living in harmony, in peace, and in truth, not at war with one another. Shalom. It doesn't just mean peace outward. is talking about an inward peace where we're lined up with God's purposes, where we're actually lined up exactly, spirit, soul, body, in every way. This, I think, is correct. This, I think, is a picture for us. And the multitudes that went before him and that followed, they cried out saying, verse 9, Hosanna to the Son of David. So they were expecting Jesus to be like King David, set up a military system, a kingdom that could overthrow the Roman Empire. But, you know, the Roman Empire was very strong. And even a few million Jewish people could not overthrow that empire. And most of them were gathered there that day thinking, now there's hope. We'll get this man to be just like his ancestor David. But they were disappointed because Jesus came in humility. He came with a message of love and peace and joy and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and meekness. This was the kind of kingdom that he brought because he wanted all mankind to be blessed. He didn't want just the Jewish people. He wanted them to be just a light to the nations. Then he set up his church to be a light to the nations. But we haven't always been that light. We haven't always been what we were supposed to be. And therefore, it remains for us to continue in what he said, because he will keep his word and he will prevail. And darkness will not prevail. So, no matter what you think, this king that came is truly able to keep the promise that God made. And the multitudes, they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. And here's what they said. Who is it? Who is this? Who is he? He doesn't look like a king. Doesn't look like he's got an army. Doesn't look like anything. How can he get anything accomplished with just love, with just kindness, with just peace? These are weak things. This world is hard and strong. How can you conquer the world with love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control? How can you conquer the world that way? I tell you, if you can conquer yourself, you can conquer the world. The problem today in the church is that we haven't learned to conquer ourselves. We haven't learned to do exactly as God has taught us. And that's why God wants us, like Craig, don't worry about being perfect. Just keep believing that Jesus has told you, be servants, don't be masters. Don't be those that put down others, be those that lift up others. Regard others as greater and better than yourself. This was Craig. This was Craig. Jim, I want you to be like that. Do those things that give hope to others. Ricky, also, I want you to be someone who is a servant, someone who helps others. Not follows others, but leads them by love. What will the world do? If we don't understand. Don't worry about the world. The world's going to pass away. But those who are of God, who believe in this truth, will prevail. Because the meek shall inherit the earth. Not the weak, but those that are strong, but they don't do anything until God tells them, yes, this is the right thing. Do it. And when you do what's right, that prevails over what's wrong. Doesn't seem that way in this world always. That's why we suffer. But the suffering is nothing. Because we do it because it's right. So, in the same way that I love my wife Peggy, I'll never leave her or forsake her. I don't care what she does. I don't care what she does. It doesn't matter. I make this decision unilaterally, just from myself. I will never leave her. I will always bless her. I will take all the burdens. I didn't want her to have any worries, any cares, anything. I want all the trouble. I want all the difficulty. That's a man. That is how God taught us. You show love. Don't ever criticize what they do. Don't ever look down on or make fun of. Just lift up. Always build up. This is Craig Ninehouse. This is the legacy that he has left. This is our Lord Jesus. And the multitude said, oh, who is this? This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth from Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and he cast out all the money changers in the temple. He cast them out. And this is what he said. He overthrew the tables and those that were selling doves And he said, it is written, my Father's house shall be called a house of praise, of worship, of adoration, not a den of thieves. In other words, the church is not meant to be where money is made. The church is not a commercial venture that's working for profit. I don't want anything from the church. I want to do exactly what God says. Why? Because I believe his promises. So we don't even do anything in this church to make money. It's all a gift. Whatever you give, that's between you and God. But God has been good to us. Why? Because he's a good God. Because he's a good God. He is a loving father. He is not an angry judge that's mad at what we didn't do or did do. He's not rewarding us a wage. He's not giving us payment for work done. He is giving us a free gift for what we didn't do, couldn't do. That is Craig. That is the truth. That's what will set us free. My house shall be called a house of prayer, of praise, of adoration. And that's how we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for doing everything. And then into his courts with praise, high praises, which are telling all about the mercy of God and the faithfulness of God and the truth of God, because that's who he is. And also adoring him and loving him because he didn't expect us to do something to earn his love. He loved us before, while we were still sinners. He loved us when we weren't yet perfected. That's exactly, I don't know how Craig got a hold of that, but he listened, I guess, to many messages, but he got a hold of it, is God loves me no matter what. And because of that, he was a lover. Because of that, he had faith, hope, love. Well, that's enough. I think the amazing thing about this man's life is that in his way, in his quiet way, which most of you don't know about, you only saw him, but you didn't know what he was thinking and doing, he put all his faith in God. He believed that God couldn't lie. He believed that he was safe and secure and that he had no worries. I tell you, that man was always happy. Whenever he would be with you, he would have something good to say. Never was angry or critical. You couldn't make him mad, Maria. You couldn't make him mad. No matter what you would do, he would love you. It's too powerful. But I believe that's because he knew that God loved him that way. So he also loved you that way. That's wonderful. So he is not mad at anybody at all. And that's what you always, when you were with him, he would say something maybe funny or whatever, but he was wanting to be a blessing to you, not to take something from you, but to give you something. So, Ricky, that's a powerful idea, is that in this world, when you give, you receive. But it isn't people that you necessarily get it from. You actually get it from God through people often. Because God uses people to bless us, even people that don't like us, even people that maybe want to abuse us and use us and crucify us. It doesn't matter. Still, God's love and purpose will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. God is the governor of the universe. He created the universe. He owns the universe. He can do anything he wants with it. He gave us a law knowing we couldn't keep it. He told us don't eat of the tree. We ate of the tree. But then he produced another tree, the tree of life, where there was hope to say, even if you mess up, don't forget, I reserve the right. Anytime I want to, I can forgive anybody. And that was what happened to Craig. That was what happened to you, Maria, to know that our God is a loving father, is not an angry judge, is not out to destroy us or hurt us or harm us for not doing right. He's out to bless us and bless us and bless us. So this is the great message about Craig and also about our Lord who came. I believe it's no accident that he died right at this time to give this message. Thank you, everyone here. I want Jim to come forward now and share a few words about his father.
I really don't know exactly what to say. Pastor Jim already covered most of it, so now I have to make everything up as I go. In addition to being my father, he was also a mentor. He would teach whenever I would ask, and as he knew a little bit about everything, he taught me a little bit about everything, but I do regret that I was unable to, or not unable to, I could have easily asked him, but I never asked him about his faith, and I know it was a lot to him, and that was what carried him through every day. And he had it all figured out for himself right up to the end. And I just never asked him about it, and I could have had an easier time starting to figure it out for myself, but now that he's gone, and I'll never be able to ask what he knew about God and how he viewed it, because he would never force any view on anyone, or anything for that matter, you know, even to my brother and I. He wouldn't speak very much unless we spoke first. He's very quiet, and you know, I'd go downstairs after school. He would be sitting watching TV on the laptop downstairs, maybe, and he would have this look of peace on his face. It was just a quiet, just the slightest grin all the time. And I never thought about it until he was gone already, but he had everything figured out for himself. He had nothing to regret, and I'm glad that he was at least at peace with himself whenever he left. And I really don't know what else to say other than he was my father. I loved him very much, and I'll miss him. And, at this point, I'm not sure if I have anything else to say. So I will put the microphone down now and go to sit back down.
Anyone else who would like to share anything about Greg? You don't have to come up front here, but you could just stand up where you are and share how he impacted your life, because he had a big impact on many people's lives. Anyone else would like to share?
All I can say is that he was a friend. He gave friend a new definition. And I always talk to him first thing in the morning. And all we talk about was God. That's all we ever talk about. And he would tell me, "You made a good decision, Jose." And the tapes that, that Jim was talking about, he would give them to me. And that's where I learned that it doesn't matter what I do or what people say or think about me. It's that God loves me. That's all I need. And like I said, he gave me a ride home, and I never saw it coming. And I'm not shocked I'm shocked that he's gone. But I know where he's at, because I showed my boss just now the Bible that he gave me and exactly what Jim talked about. If God is with us, who can be against us? He gave me that. And he was a friend like no other friend. And when I told my wife about what happened, it really impacted her life. Because even though she met Jim and Maria, one day, she really cared for them. And I was still, Craig, I keep your voice in prayer by name. And Maria, I don't have to do it that way. God knows everything. But it's about a relationship, and that's how I kept it in prayer. Very quiet, but I always talk to him every morning throughout the day. And the good thing that has happened at our job, that he brought everybody together. He brought everybody together, and we realized that we lost a true friend. True friend. He never preached to no one. I always did. Jesus Christ. You know what he did for me? November 9, 2006 is when I got saved. But you can't shut me down. And I always tell people, Jesus Christ, he's the answer. No matter what, he's the answer. And I know where he's at. And I know that no more tears. No more tears. And I want to thank Jim, because those tapes really helped me a lot. It really helped me a lot. And Craig found it in his heart from the day that I was saved to give me those tapes. And I listened to them all the time, every night. Even my little grandson, church grandpa, and I put it in for him. So even though I don't come here, I'm still, you know, with Craig. Now he's gone. And like I says, you know, we wait for the day. Thank you.
Yes.
I know Craig when Maria was pregnant with Ricky, you know, and I came here, I think Maria came after I came here about a couple of years, and my other friend introduced Maria and Craig, and we found out she came from the same town I did in Indonesia, but I don't know her in Indonesia, but I know her here. So at that time, Maria was pregnant with Ricky, I think about 6 months pregnant with Ricky. So I know Craig. Craig is like my brother to me, you know. And he always helped me, because my husband always traveling. Whenever my lawnmower break down or my car break down, Craig always come to rescue me, you know, and always fix my brake. I always call Maria. I said, I need Craig to come over my house to fix car. And Craig will say, talk to my wife. I said, no, Craig, I said, you're the one that's going to do it, okay? But I already talked to your wife, okay? So you come over. I said, I will. So the next day, come and picks my brake. That's all I can say about Craig. He has good heart, and I will miss him so much. Thank you.
Our family and Maria and Craig's family are not only neighbors, but we are really like family and good friends. Every time I come to their house, Craig always cheer me and say, Esther, makan dulu, it means eat again, eat first. And one thing that I remember him as best friend, one time I had a miscarriage right before I got my baby. And so I was so shocked. I was so depressed. That time I got no one to talk to. I tried to call Maria at home, but he's the one who picked up the phone. And I shared a little bit story, and then I said, well, you know what? That hurt so bad, Craig. You know, I haven't even seen my baby, but hurt me so bad. And he said, why don't you come down to our house, Esther? You know, we are family. You got a friend to talk to. So I came to their house, and he said, Maria will be here within 30 minutes. And so there is another guy, I don't know, was that you, Jose? Oh, okay. So Jose, Craig, and within 30 minutes, Maria arrived. And so we share a story. We prayed together. He held my hand, and I cry, and I cry, and I cry. And Craig also cried with me. And after we prayed, he said, you know what, Esther? You don't have to worry. God will bury you, will give you a child sooner or later. You will have a child of your own, a beautiful one, you see. Just trust in him, hang in there. He makes everything beautiful in his time. I just would like to say thank you, Uncle Craig. Thank you for your love, support, and being a best friend, a blessing to our family. Thank you, and we love you so much.
Child. Who else? All right. Yes? Someone else? No. All right, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this servant, for this man of God, for this example, for this man of faith, deep, kept to himself, but lived through love, so that men, when they see our good works, they give glory. And I thank you, Lord God, that it was the life of Craig that showed his heart. It was the fruit of this man's life that made clear his faith, that you are a God who is loving, gentle, precious, a God that wishes no harm to anyone, even those that disobey him, even those that come against him. Your desire has always been to forgive and then to transform us by love until we ourselves become lovers. Thank you for this life. Thank you for celebrating his death, because it's not a final word. Death is not the last word. There is life after death. And I thank you, Lord, in your name, we pray that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one God, I thank you, Lord God, that you have yet to do your final work before your return, so that many from every nation, every tongue, every tribe will come together, just as this family represents those that you love. I give you praise, Lord God, that this legacy will pass on to the family, especially Ricky and Jim. I thank you, Lord God, that the best has been saved to the last, that there's more. We give you praise for this life, unfinished but finished. You did the beginning. You maintained and carried him through many miracles. And you are the one that will bring him to the end. And you have done so. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You'll be dismissed.